Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to AgriTalk, a show where we talk about all things agriculture.
Agricultural, yes. And
not working very well. It's a Monday.
Yeah, it is an off day, but you know. It is a Monday, so that's probably the problem.
Yeah. I'm still living on a weekend.
It was a beautiful weekend.
Oh, it's been great. The whole week's supposed to be great, too.
It is, and I'm sure it was a beautiful week for all the farmers to be out in the field and get things moving along.
So. Yeah. I guess maybe the concern is not out west is the rain.
Yeah.
I think it's starting to dry up a little bit. This is, this 18th of April.
Yeah.
So... at this point in time, it's a little dry.
It is starting to get dry. Obviously, we just had snow, and then so dry and so warm all of a sudden,
mm-hmm.
for us anyway.
Okay, so what are we covering today?
Well, today we're going to be talking about sustainable ag in a way that I'm still kind of fresh at. And we have a special guest, and he's from up north, not close to us, but very
accessible. I'd say the opposite side of the state.
Yeah, I would.
We're in the southeast, and he's in northwest.
Yeah, pretty much. You can't. Yeah, you can't.
It's still Ohio.
Still Ohio, though. So absolutely, we have Alan Sundermeyer with us.
Okay.
And he's a specialty on that. And Alan, will you give us just a brief? How you doing? And all about yourself.
Well, I'm a county extension educator located in Wood County. And that's the other Bowling Green, the Ohio Bowling Green.
The Ohio Bowling Green.
Close to Toledo.
Mm-hmm.
So we're nice and flat, high input type of agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been with Extension about 22 years. I had a career before that, so I've been around the Midwest and served in sales and feed production and some other things too besides that. So one of the assignments I have, which is a statewide assignment, which is why I feel qualified to be down in this part of the state, coordinator job with sustainable agriculture for Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a USDA funded, it's a national program, and this is something that we can bring out education and research and other aspects of grants and things back to the local communities.
Great. So can you define what is sustainable agriculture? What are we talking about?
Well, that's the beauty of this program because it encompasses so many things. It's almost easier to say what is not sustainable.
Hmm.
And we don't want to put down modern farming practices, but there are some things that we think we can improve on.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, sustainability means you can continue on or improve from what you started with. So think of depletion of coal or oil or something as not being sustainable because we're not producing more coal.
Mm-hmm.
At least it might take millions of years, right?
Right. hard to make coal overnight.
So in the same way in agriculture, you can't make soil overnight.
Ah, yeah.
So we look at practices that maybe sustain the soil, keep the soil functioning,
mm-hmm.
practices that allow farmers to make a living on it while they're doing it, and maybe even new ideas of new farming practices.
Did this come about after the Dust Bowl days when people just farmed the soil until it was just basically dead?
That's getting into conserving the soil,
okay.
Soil Conservation Service. This came in about 1988. The USDA decided there was more need for alternative production methods. Organic is not the only thing that is sustainable. There's other practices, but that's part of it, as there's more and more awareness of the need to reduce inputs, reduce pesticides, not maybe eliminate them, but just find ways of working better with nature is probably where the focus came from.
Now, is it recycling part of that? Is that an idea within the sustainability?
Well, as you talk about composting and looking at things available on the farm that may have gone to waste, as far as in the towns, not necessarily. This is more, agricultural production type of thing.
Now, I know a lot of small gardeners that do composting. Is composting something you can do in a large scale?
Oh, definitely. Yep. The Herzl Farms, they're in Wood County, and they have a certified organic composting facility. and they deal with hundreds of tons of compost and look at various sources that come in, be it could be straw or hay that's out of condition and no longer usable for animals.
Mm-hmm.
They could take different manure sources, even leaves from the town that may get burnt or are not usable, and put all these materials together and turn them and add oxygen, and the product that comes out is almost like a new soil that you can add, you know, to improve productivity of your ground.
Would they take in stuff from local restaurants that, you know, would be waste from there or not?
Yeah, some food products work better than others, of course. You know, some meats and things might spoil too easily.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know, any of your
like vegetables,
vegetables and things that decompose naturally would be very approvable that way.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at a more sustainable production, if you're not going to be using commercial fertilizer, you have to somehow sustain the soil to produce food. How will you do that?
You know, yeah, would that be crop rotation?
It could be rotation. You know, it could be looking at compost. It could be looking at manures, cover crops, legumes that provide natural source of nitrogen. These are all things we talk about in sustainable agriculture.
Hmm.
So it's not one simple method. You know, it's looking at a whole system on a farm. What can you produce on that farm, or what can you bring into the farm that is a more natural state to improve the productivity?
So that entails, you give me some information here about some economics, some environmental stuff, and some social things that you're talking about. Does that fall in that environmental part? And then what are those other legs of that?
If you don't have all those legs, environmental, economic, and social covered, you can't be profitable, you can't maintain and be sustainable is how we look at that. So if you're doing things environmentally correct, you know, reducing pesticides, using natural forms of inputs,
mm-hmm.
that's good. But if you're losing money and you can't continue the business by doing that method, it's not sustainable. You're
right.
going to go out of business. Now, on the other hand, if you're doing economically and environmentally okay, but it's creating a lot of odors, or you know, the neighborhood is not getting along with you, you have to look at everything within the surrounding area of your farm also. So if you're creating a situation that is not good for that area, then that's not socially acceptable.
Gotcha. So how often that is. I kind of like riding the motorcycle through farmland. And,
you
know, I don't know.
You
to know, me, it smells earthy or something, but...
Yeah, odors are a
maybe
part of it, and you're being considerate of your neighbors. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe if your farm was closer to a town, I'd say, and then the wind would
or even
drift
if,
that way more.
You're applying compost or manure, and the neighbor has laundry out in the clothesline, you may want to tell them the day before, hey, I'm going to be doing this operation. You may not want to put your clothing out on the clothesline tomorrow.
You're being courteous for that.
Because
so.
if you don't get along with people,
mm-hmm.
something's going to give.
Right.
You
know. Gotcha. So as far as farming and the sustainability, is it livestock farming and produce, or is it mostly produce, or how's that?
Or grain.
All of the above.
All of the above.
Okay.
Now, but you mainly deal with, do you deal with all of them, or do you deal mainly with one portion of that?
My background is mostly in grain, the larger scale farming, but when you look at an ideal farm situation that's completely sustainable, you need to have livestock, you know, to have a use of the grain that's produced. You use the byproduct from the animals, you know, again, the manure is a source of nutrients. So within that farm, you can cycle.
Both its own little ecosystem.
It's an enclosed system that way.
Yeah.
And then if you have vegetables or other production, you know, that relies on the productivity of the soil, which is gained maybe from manures or compost also produced on the farm. So it's kind of like looking backwards.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of farms were developed that way, you know, after World War II because we didn't have the chemical inputs.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to produce everything themselves. There's more labor. But we feel we can look at some of those good wholesome methods of production and expand that into larger acres and still be profitable. In this
would using these methods save the farmer money? Or
may not.
Or would it be more labor intensive and cost in that direction?
You may or may not.
Yeah.
You know, there's ways
depends
to mechanize.
On what you're talking about.
It depends on the size of the operation. You know, if you have 1 or 2 acres and it's just the family involved, you could probably, you know, have a fairly sustainable type of operation on a small acreage. Once you get into hundreds of acres, then you have to mechanize and invest more and maybe look at hiring people to come in. So it's all different levels. Sustainability is not just necessarily backyard, small acreage gardening.
Right.
It can be thousands of acres and still be considered sustainable.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of do you make partnerships in this? How does that help?
Sustainable Ag Program, SARE, mm-hmm. is initials, works with NRCS, Natural Resource Conservation Service. We look at the soil and water conservation districts. And there's also a lot of nonprofits, organic certifiers. OFA is a big one. So there's a lot of people we can network with to bring resources together. Because mm-hmm. part of what the SARE program does is look at what resources any size farmer needs and try to develop that and deliver it to him to better educate them.
Do we have a logo? Have you put the logo up yet?
Maybe.
SARE. Yeah, go to DDR1. There it is.
So this is something you can search on the web. Part of this program is outreach with publications. There's differences that we can do with grant programming also.
Mm-hmm.
So this is funded by USDA. Mm-hmm. And we're divided up into regions in the country. So here in Ohio, we're in the north central region. Kentucky would be the southern region.
Mm-hmm.
And the grant programs then are focused on the different regions as far as deciding you know, who gets the benefit of the grants that are allowable.
Now, who would you go contact from SARE in? Do you have a person in your region? Is that what you're telling me? There's a person?
Well, myself and
yourself?
Mike Hogan are representing Ohio.
Okay.
And then we have a staff based in Minneapolis that's a full-time staff for our region.
Okay. Now, you said Mike Hogan. Where is he located?
In Columbus.
He's
Franklin
in?
County Extension.
Okay. And he covers the state as well?
Yeah, we both
you
kind of
both
share,
you share responsibility.
His expertise is more in urban agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is more in agronomic grain production, so we kind of balance our skills
each other.
That way.
Yeah.
We outreach throughout all of Ohio.
Mm-hmm. With this. Great. What are the other, once you go sustainable, is there money that you can get for doing this?
Right.
Grants or funds or however? And
I'm sure the government thinks it's a great idea and we're going to put money into it. Right?
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
So is there things that we can apply for or to be, I don't know if you call it certified, but, you know, to the something or that?
Well, there's many levels of programming involved in the grants. And the one that would pertain to our audience, the Farmer Rancher Grant.
Mm-hmm.
And this is available, usually comes online about Labor Day, around the 1st of September, and it's due around the 1st of November. It's a $7,500 grant,
mm-hmm.
one-time grant. You can go with your neighbors, up to three neighbors or people you can work with, and get $22,500. So it's limited to go up to that level. So you can either do it individually or a group of three can go together. And these farmer rancher grants are not just an outright gift, you know, do something with it. You have to show something unique that maybe has not been done. And sustainability, like I said, is very broad. It could be livestock, it could be vegetable, it could be grain, it could even be marketing. But we're looking for some kind of comparison or some kind of research or some kind of outreach that'll help that farm, but also could be duplicated in other farms. So it's to benefit you, but it's something that could be repeated and learned from other people.
And when you get a grant, I'm pretty sure that everything has to be measurable.
Yeah,
right?
Like
you
have
to measure your points before, your points during and after, right?
So. It doesn't have to be real complicated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a livestock producer may have two sets of animals and maybe a different feed source. Maybe it's a grazing experiment. He tries one type of grass mix in this paddock versus another paddock with a different kind of grass mix and see the rate of gain over time.
Mm-hmm.
So something that simple. But as part of that grant, he would then maybe have a field day at that location, invite his neighborhood farmers to come in, and they could see, you know, how the grass responds. He could have some data, you know, the rate gain or the amount of growth of the grass, and write up a report. That report can maybe be published in the local newspaper or to Farm Bureau outlets. So he's learning, his neighborhood's learning, he's creating a report that can go up on the web and learned by a lot of people. So the grant dollars multiply themselves easily that way.
I don't know if you've ever heard of Bob Evans' thing he had come up with was year-round grazing and using turnips to feed over the wintertime.
Right.
Just digging them out of the soil and eating turnips. Not sure how that affects the meat, but
that's amazing what animals eat when they're hungry, right?
Yeah.
So what we have is a website, sare.org, and that's the national website, and then they can click on whatever region they're located, north central or southern region, and within that you can see the different grant programs, and the farmer rancher grant would be one aspect of that program. And there you can see past grants, you know, all grants then have a report. You can learn from previous ones. Mm-hmm. And even if it's the same idea maybe someone in Missouri had, you could still apply that as a new grant in Ohio because our conditions are different than Missouri.
Oh.
So, you know, it's to stimulate interest in new ideas, and the money is there to help support you, you know, if you have something you're not sure about and a high risk. This gives you a little more cushion, I guess, if something goes wrong. Because, you know, mistakes are made, and we realize not everything we want farmers to try can make their money. Mm-hmm. So you try it on a small scale, make a mistake, you're not out much. This grant can help support that.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about the scale of the people who might apply for grants, you know, how big of a operation you would have to be to apply for a grant. You know, do you have to, like, have a, you know, over 100 acres or 200?
There's no acreage requirement. We do tend to stay away from just gardeners for mm-hmm. their own household.
Right.
So there should be some economic gain from this enterprise, more than just that family.
Right.
So it's just it's more for that full-time farmer.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, but
you know, if you have maybe a small orchard that you're selling cider or, you know, making some product from that at a roadside market, that's very applicable.
Okay.
So you have something to sell
that's
gaining income to the family from that.
Okay. I know around here we have a population. Do you ever see any Amish taking advantage of these programs?
Yeah. Amish are very much in tune with this program.
Because I can see them into the whole sustainability thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it can help develop markets, help develop advertising or ways that you need to. One example we had by Finley, a person wanted to get into buffalo ranching.
Buffalo.
Now, you wouldn't think Northwest Ohio you would have many buffalo. So his problem was people had never tried buffalo products, you know, the meat that's consumed.
Right.
So he could figure out how to raise and care for the buffalo okay, but he needed help to develop a website, to develop marketing information
for an awareness
to people
thing.
Just to try buffalo
so
he could be successful. And this grant and focused on that aspect of it.
Okay. I wasn't sure. No. If you saw it under another name at the store, if it's the same thing.
So in that case, it's a new idea.
Yep.
No one in that area had tried to raise buffalo or market them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's introducing a product, you know, that's naturally grazed. You know, it's a healthy choice of a product. And that fits very well in our emphasis of sustainability. So that's one example.
And other farms, say like if I raised llamas for the wool or sheep or something, that would fall under that also.
And you might then look at, you know, what product are you looking at, the wool? How would you package the wool? Would you do some kind of cleaning of the wool? You know, go beyond maybe simply selling the raw wool, develop an enterprise from that, you know, dyeing it or getting it packaged in certain ways that someone could utilize. It could then be repeated by someone in Missouri. You know, they could see the process you went through, lay out the steps, and you know, people could come and view it. You can make a video. But the outreach is a very important component of these grants. We like to have that repeatability for other farmers.
Right. Spreading the information.
Now, when you say outreach, and you're talking about that individual has to make the report, or do the outreach themselves, or is that part of
that individual,
you and Sarah, or,
and
the group?
Mike Hogan and I could assist, the local extension educator, or any ag professional. We try to bring a team together to help with these grants.
But they have to be involved.
They're involved.
In the reporting back.
Right.
Okay. Okay. That's interesting.
So it stimulates small enterprise. Mm-hmm.
And
then, to look at it.
Do you have any other specific training or events for this?
Yeah, we can talk to people individually. As you go on our website, you can contact us by email or phone. Occasionally, we'll do some training as far as how to write for these grants. Mm-hmm. So it's not complicated. It's farmer-friendly, so you don't have to be spending days and days on these applications.
Okay. But most generally, you're interacting with one-on-one versus a big meeting or something to talk about.
Yep. So do you oversee or keep an eye on everybody from the point of getting the grant to the finishing of the project?
And our full-time staff help with that also.
Yep. Does it seem like that would be a big job?
Yep. The other benefit, some of these grants lead into publications. Mm-hmm. We have for sale booklets. We also have free bulletins online at the SARE.org, and these are on a variety of topics. Soil health is one topic, cover crops. So all these information generated by grants then can be written up and usable in a concise format, like a several-page bulletin or a 100-page booklet even. So these are also available on our website for anyone.
So all this information is accessible by anyone?
Right.
No password required. You can go in and look at it. So this is your tax dollars at work, so
a lot of
work has gone into a lot of this stuff, so you probably, if you're a farmer, it would behoove you to go out and see how you might be able to improve your methods.
Even if you're not applying for the grant, just to see a way to improve your farm.
And we'll be soon announcing a summer farm tour series that we do in cooperation with the organic producers. Mm-hmm. We're all throughout the state. The farmers will open themselves up to the public, and you can see what they have tried to do, something unique on their farm. We try to focus on more sustainable practices on these farm tours, but it's amazing how people would rather travel clear across the state to see someone else's farm than go to their neighbors.
Yeah.
Because they want to try something unique, and they don't want anyone to know about it. So they feel safe if they go to a strange farm.
Yeah.
And nose around and come back with some harebrained idea that no one else wants to try.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, I've always thought of that, the 50-mile rule, that somebody farther away knows more than me or your next-door neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You got to go somewhere else to find interesting and unique. But I've found a thing all around us.
All the time, and we don't know it. It just seems like it. So. On these tours, these farm tours, have you had these before?
Yeah, the last... probably about 10 years.
Oh, really?
So, it varies, what topics. Could be a livestock operation. I know with goats becoming more and more popular, and some of the parasites, grazing goats may pick up from the soil parasites. So how you can look at the goats to select the genetics that are more resistant to some of these parasites, that's one example.
Yeah, I know a lot of my friends are picking up the whole goat farming thing for whatever reason, for the wool, I don't know if you call it wool. Well,
the meat product.
The milk, they would make other products like soap and lotions and, just a lot of things you can do.
Yeah. Yeah, it is coming along.
Mm-hmm. So, a goat is very sustainable. You can put them in brush areas, not the best pastures, and maybe give them a little grain in the wintertime to survive, and they're very economical to handle, and there are good markets in the major cities. With some of our ethnic populations, that's very desirable.
I've heard across the world, if you look at the numbers of the type of meat that people intake, that goat's the most popular the world over, and it's not beef.
Not everyone can afford to feed grain to their livestock, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. These, I want to go back to these tours just a second. Do you register for one, or do you come back, you just show up?
It depends.
Get on a bus, or go to one day?
Some may have a meal, there may be a fee, or there may be some handout material, some expense. Mm-hmm. Summer just show up that day, no registration. So we'll be soon publishing a booklet, mm-hmm. and that'll list all the requirements, you know, if there's pre-registration or not, and where the locations are. So
it probably depends on the farm itself, right?
Yeah. And some, you know, work with local restaurants. They may have a produce, a larger scale than just a garden. I mean, these are larger acreages of produce designed mm-hmm. for chefs' needs, mm-hmm. and they'll do a meal on the farm. So the chef will come out to the farm, use the produce right from there, picked an hour ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
and maybe combine that with some other products, and you can eat right in the barn and,
yeah.
and have a meal there. So you can't get any more sustainable than that when you can see where your food's coming from and consume it right there.
It's a good idea. How does somebody find out about these tours coming up?
Well, by going on our SARE website, you can contact Mike Hogan and I, and we'll have advertising through the extension service that way.
Okay, through there.
All right. Yeah, I think our people's palates are expanding, and they're willing to try more than just, you know, what their grandparents ate, the meat and potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to open up to a lot of different things. You know?
Mm-hmm. And how it's produced is getting more important to them also.
Right. You're looking for different qualities and labels at the supermarket,
right.
Depending on free range or
organic, not organic.
Which
grain fed? There's various things. Yeah.
And to the next show, if you stay tuned, he's going to be back for another show talking about the organic,
mm-hmm.
correct? And what does that mean to you?
Right.
Defining that. Anything else?
Well, I think, you know, farmers, even if they're thousands of acres of grain farming, they're seeing there's alternative ways of producing food.
Mm-hmm.
And the consumer is going to demand things done in a certain way, and by being more sustainable, I think we can comply with that consumer demand and still be economically profitable, socially acceptable in the neighborhood, and protect the environment.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I think with that, we better start wrapping up, and
mm-hmm.
we'll plan for the next show.
Right. All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
And we thank all of you for watching, and, you know, one of the powers of this is put on YouTube, share it with your friends that might be interested, and definitely go check out the website. There might be something on there that might help you with your garden.
SARE.org.
Right. ORG. All right. Well, thanks for watching. We'll see you next month.